The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
This is SB Nation Radio from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Here's Joe Spano.
Big 12 championship game is in the books. Oklahoma takes care of their business. They were rather impressive in making their case. If there's a hiccup along the way and there's room to squeeze into the top four, that it should be Oklahoma and not Ohio State that does so. And joining us now to recap that Big 12 championship game from SB Nation's The Cream Machine, it's Austin Brown. Austin, welcome to the program, and thanks for joining us on our BetDSI.com Insider Line.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for having me.
My pleasure. I guess the place we'll start in many ways is, you know, the outcome, the 39-27 victory, you know, the style points that Oklahoma scored in that they didn't necessarily play offense up to their absolute gold standard, only by Oklahoma standards, putting up 39. But the criticism of OU's been their defense all year, and their defense played much better in this one. So in many ways, doing enough offensively, avenging your only loss of the season, and playing some pretty darn good defense throughout this one, did Oklahoma kind of score the style points that they need, that if there's a hiccup in front of them, that they're going to be the team to move into the top four and not the Ohio State Buckeyes? Have they pretty well, barring a miracle, ensured that Ohio State's not going to pass them?
I think they have. You just look at, I mean, they were ahead of Ohio State this week. They beat a higher-ranked team. Even if Ohio State wins tonight, OU got, in the eyes of the committee, a much better win. And so that, I can't imagine a scenario where Ohio State jumps Oklahoma. And like you said, it wasn't the way that you figured Oklahoma would win again. I mean, the offense in the first half really just wasn't there for most of it. But the defense came up with some huge plays. I mean, they got a huge safety toward the end of the game. I would say it's definitely the best defensive game Oklahoma's played all season. So I think they did enough. Really, I mean, it comes down to, I know Georgia's up at the moment, but if Alabama can come back and win in the second half, I think Oklahoma's almost a sure thing to get in at this point.
Really? Yeah, I guess that would make them the four. They would be the four seed, and they would be directly behind Notre Dame. Clemson, if they take care of their business, is a two. You know, and I guess you're right. So barring the miracle, they're in. They did what they needed to do. And let's go to the football game itself. You know, we talked about Oklahoma not winning in a way that you would expect. The Texas Longhorns on defense throughout this game, except when it counted, did a very, very good job of making Oklahoma one-dimensional and really limiting the running game of the Oklahoma Sooners and forced the Sooners to be a pass-happy attack that moved the ball only through the air. And despite that, OU did a good job of moving the ball and didn't turn over the football until very late in the football game. So were you as impressed as I was by the adjustment to being one-dimensional and how effective they still were moving the ball despite not having the balance they've had most of the year?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the game, neither team was really able to get the run game going. I think Oklahoma's problem in the first half was really every play they were either handing it off or trying to go for it all and throw the ball 30, 40 yards down the field. I think second half, once they got kind of some of those middle underneath routes going, I mean, that's where Oklahoma makes their money, is those 5-6 yard outs. You got guys that can make plays. So once they did that and stopped trying to get it all at once, I think Lincoln Riley made a great adjustment. Sooners looked great on offense in the second half, minus CeeDee Lamb's fumble there at the end. But, yeah, I think Lincoln Riley's a great offensive mind. He saw what was going on and really just took up the defense game in the second half.
You know, let's talk about those adjustments. You know, early going at Texas up 14-6. They put together two terrific drives. They got it in the end zone. They took what the Oklahoma defense was giving them, which was the passing game. Oklahoma, on the other hand, offensively, in the early going, they were trying to kind of force the balance that just wasn't there because of the way the Texas defense was set up. And their drives bogged down and they settled for field goals. And then it looked like finally, you know, as the end of the first half approached, and particularly in the second half, it looked like Lincoln Riley just said, hey, I'm going to take what we're given, and the heck with the run game. We're just going to throw it all over the place. And that led to a pretty darn dominant third quarter and early fourth quarter as they chucked the ball all over the place and really just said, we're taking what we're given, and we're going to become a pass-happy attack. While Texas, when you look at it, they took what was given to them early. Then all of a sudden said, oh, boy, we got to get balanced. And they kind of just started running the ball when nothing was there and almost slowed down their own offense. Did you kind of notice the same thing and think in many ways this game was won by the Oklahoma coaching staff doing a better job of adjustments and taking what was given to them over the course of this football game?
Yes, that's just definitely – I didn't really understand that either, because Sam Ehlinger was having success through the air. I mean – Colin Johnson set a Big 12 championship game record for receiving yards. Nobody could cover him. And it seems like they just kept trying to force the run, even though they were getting less than 3 yards a carry. That seemed to be really the only thing Oklahoma could do today. So that was perplexing to me. I don't know if they didn't have faith in Sam Ehlinger's shoulder or what it was. But, yeah, you would have expected them to air it out more because it was working in the first half. They were just picking apart OU's secondary. And I think the secondary did make a few adjustments in the second half, but – I don't know. That was a weird move by Herman or whoever made that call.
But here's the one thing you can't adjust to. 5'10", 5'11", versus 6'3", and 6'6". It wasn't like those OU corners were going to grow 6 inches at halftime. And that was something that, you know, Texas could take advantage of all the way through, and they just abandoned it.
Yeah. Colin Johnson especially, yeah, he was just smoking Parnell Motley on the outside. OU had nobody that could cover him, and they just kind of stopped going to him. Him and Will Jordan Humphrey seemed to be able to do whatever they wanted to. If you've got guys that much of a size advantage over guys, you're going to be able to throw the ball. And I don't know. I mean, Sam Ehlinger's had shoulder issues. I don't know if that reared its head in the second half, and that's why they went away from it. But it seemed like he was fine most of the game, so I don't know. I credit Lincoln Riley a lot for it. I love to see him out-duel Tom Herman. That brings my heart great joy. So I'm not going to cry too much about that.
Austin Brown from SB Nation's The Cream Machine joins us here on our BetDSI.com Insider Line. And, you know, obviously you're an Oklahoma fan, which means you're a Texas hater. You watch this game, and once again, you see Texas lose late. Their biggest problem, if there is a biggest singular problem, and you can isolate their biggest singular problem, they don't close. If you look at the two matchups this year between these two teams, both on neutral fields, Texas has dominated the first three quarters statistically and with points. In the fourth quarter, it's all Oklahoma. Texas has scored, I think, a grand total of 3 fourth-quarter points in two games this year against Oklahoma. So in many ways, we've talked about adjustments and all these other things, and the realities are the biggest difference between these two teams in these two matchups, and the biggest difference in this one in particular was Oklahoma's ability to close and finish and Texas's inability to do the same.
Yeah, I think I saw stats that throughout the year, it wasn't even just those two games. Texas has been outscored by about 70 points in the fourth quarter, and they've been pretty dominant. I mean, all the other quarters. So this isn't a new problem for Texas. I don't really know what it is, especially when you've got a decent quarterback like Sam Ehlinger. You figure they should be able to hang in these games, but I don't know. It looks like the defense wore out. I mean, you finally started to see them give up some of the bigger passing plays toward the end. I definitely think fatigue was a factor. OU seems to have just an endless stable of receivers they can throw out there who can beat them deep. Losing Caden Stearns, I know, for Texas, their freshman safety, that was a huge loss. I think that hurt their secondary. But ultimately, yeah, just like it was a conditioning battle, and toward the end, Texas just had nothing left, and that's been an issue for them all season.
You know what else I want to talk about? We talked about how OU couldn't run the ball, and we talked about closing. OU couldn't run the ball until it mattered. Fourth quarter, you're up 5. You take the ball. You slow down your tempo. You do a better job of running the football. And by Oklahoma standards, this is a super long drive. You hang on to the ball for 6-plus minutes, and you turn it into 7 points and make it a double-digit lead and, for all intents and purposes, ice the football game. To me, that was a real character drive and in many ways showed the difference between these two teams, one that can close and one that can't, because if you go back to the Red River Shootout at the Cotton Bowl in October, OU lost. But OU played much better in the fourth quarter than Texas did and very nearly won that game because of what they did in the fourth quarter. So talk a little bit about that last drive, that clinching drive, and, you know, how important it was to ultimately sealing the deal.
Well, the last drive was interesting because OU's offense is just accustomed to going so fast. You'd see them, they'd run a play and get up on the line of scrimmage with about 30 seconds left on the play clock, and they basically just have to tell Kyler, dude, just hang out for 25 seconds and then snap the ball. So there was a lot of that. It was a lot of just standing around, which I think is good. I mean, obviously this isn't an offense that's accustomed to that style of play, the grind the clock. But, yeah, they were doing what they needed to. They were getting first downs. They're staying in bounds and really maximizing the clock to the point where they scored late enough to where Texas had to take some chances when they finally got the ball back, and that's how they ended up throwing that last interception that kind of ended it. But yeah, anytime you could run like a 6-7-8 minute drive that just eats them up, and to finish it off with that unbelievable catch by Grant Calcaterra, that was really a dagger. And I think that showed just how good of a game plan OU really had coming in, and big credit to Lincoln Riley there for somehow being able to pull the reins on an offense that wants to go 100 miles an hour all the time.
Yep. I guess the final one from me is exactly how good is this Oklahoma football team? I mean, they may have either the best or second best offense in America. Stats say the best offense in America. It's got a very, very average defense, to be kind. But are they as good as, say, the Alabamas, the Georgias, the Clemsons? And are they better than, say, Notre Dame?
I mean, I definitely think they can be competitive with any team in the country. I mean, that's why I hope they make the playoff. I mean, you want to see it. There's been the contrast all year of, okay, is Oklahoma's defense actually bad, or are they just playing against great Big 12 offenses? Is this style of play sustainable? I mean, you look at the same question last year, and OU took Georgia to double overtime, so it wasn't like they got just run off the field there. I think I wouldn't go ahead and say they're – obviously, if they played Alabama, they would be underdogs, but – I mean, if you don't want to see Kyler Murray and Tua Tagovailoa on the same field, you don't love college football, because that's going to be incredibly entertaining. I hope it happens. I mean, Lord willing, Tua gets it together in the second half here against Georgia and pulls that off. But I think Oklahoma can beat any team in the country, and I really hope they get a shot too.
Great stuff, man. Great insight into today's Big 12 championship game and this Sooners team in general. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, because I know you're reveling in your glory right now, but you are going to be biting your nails right up until Sunday night when they announce the Final Four for the college football playoffs, man. So you enjoy it, and we'll talk again soon, my friend.
Absolutely. Boomer Sooner.
You Righty, bye-bye now. Austin Brown, SB Nation's The Cream Machine, joining us here on our BetDSI.com Insider Line. You make sure you use promo code NATION25 and get a $25 free wager today. Get all the plays in the inside line at BetDSI.com. Jacob Payne and I will tie a bow around the middle hour of three next here on SB Nation Radio. Joe Spano, Jacob Payne with you. No flipping.